Welcome to another edition of the Patriots Roster Report. I'm Brian Lowe, along with Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, and Tom Casale. Lots of news since we last came to you with the roster report. The Patriots have signed Adalis Thomas, Sammy Morris, Kyle Brady, and traded for Wes Welker. Big, aggressive weekend for the Patriots as soon as free agency began a week ago. The first three moves coming on Saturday with Adalis Thomas, Sammy Morris, and Kyle Brady. We'll start with Thomas, the big linebacker from the Baltimore Ravens, who Bill Belichick and the Pats coaching staff coached in Hawaii last month at the Pro Bowl. And the developments came last Friday as it became clear that Thomas was coming to New England at least for a visit, and pretty quickly they came to terms on a contract. So good move, guys. Is it widely accepted in this room that this was a move that the Patriots should have made and it's going to work out well for them?
Yes, the perfect move. Filled the perfect need. The biggest need on this team was linebacker, and one of the best free agents available was a linebacker. They were aggressive. He wanted to be here. He wasn't interested in playing, the touring game and touring all the cities and seeing how much money's out there. So I think it was the perfect storm of the need and the fit and everything. And, yeah, great move. Short term, makes your defense that much better, and you already had a pretty good defense.
You really can't criticize the move. Say, even if it doesn't work out, say 3 years down the line, it didn't work out, it's still a good move. He's a player that fits well into here. He can do a lot of different things. Like Andy said, he took less money to come here. He wants to be here. So regardless of what happens, for the Patriots right now, it's a good move.
Right, the money wasn't staggering based on a lot of other free agent signings. And
based on the fact that every guard in the country now plays for $50 million over 7 years.
$49 million.
$49.5 million.
What's Colvin play for, $8 million?
But it was a move that like you said, the linebacker need, the need at linebacker was definitely clear, especially in the AFC Championship game. And he was widely regarded as the best available linebacker out there and a good fit for the Patriots.
Thought when Briggs was franchised, I kind of believe that might have made the chances of them getting Thomas a little lesser because he was going to be the one premier guy out there with all these teams with $30, $40 million to throw at a guy. There would be a bidding war, and as we've seen in the past with their value system, they don't generally get into bidding wars. It's not the New York Yankees where we're going to throw our money around and we're going to get the guy we want, but it didn't work out that way.
And that's where Bilo's point comes about, somewhat affordable dollars. It was one of those deals, again, where the Patriots, and I don't want to say it's fortunate, but there is some good fortune when you have a guy who was not really interested in making all the rounds, getting every last dime that he could, because clearly this guy could have gotten more on the open market if he made three or four visits with various teams. San Francisco was the one we heard a lot about.
Well, first of all, he eliminated like three quarters of the country because he didn't want to go west.
He didn't want to go west.
He wanted to be on the East Coast.
Right. He wanted to stay in the East Coast, and that worked out in the Patriots' benefit. And look, he got a lot of money, and it's a good contract for him, but certainly he could have gotten more. And had he wanted more, I think that the conventional wisdom was right. I don't think the Patriots would have given it to him.
The Patriots have four linebackers when you add Thomas to Mike Vrabel, Roosevelt Colvin, Teddy Bruschi. Assuming the Patriots line up in a 3-4, who plays where? I mean, is it Vrabel stays inside?
Vrabel and Bruschi inside, Thomas and Colvin outside. The one thing we've been discussing a little bit on PFW in Progress is maybe which side the guys are on. Colvin has played both in his time here. On the right side with Vrabel on the left. Then he's been on the left side with Banta Kane in there. And I guess there's some differing opinions out there of where he could play based on their different skills.
Can I ask you something? Do you think there's any possibility that maybe they vary with Thomas and Vrabel? And let's just say, for argument's sake, first down, running downs, Thomas inside next to Bruschi?
I think he could.
And Vrabel outside?
I think he could.
Or is that too much?
Set.
Is that too much switching around?
Yeah, I think the base set, if you're going to just be base, is Vrabel inside. Just because he's done it for a couple years now, basically, he's been an inside linebacker for large chunks of time. So I think that's
the way they talk about Thomas. He's done everything.
Well, he is. There's no question, but he hasn't done
it on a regular basis.
I'm saying when you're in your base set, take away all the Super Sunday crazy special schemes. When you're just going base, that's what you fall back to, I think. And then, I'm sure we'll see him inside plenty.
Now, the other two moves that the Patriots made coinciding with the Thomas move, we're sort of like slotting a role player in at a need that developed. You get Kyle Brady to be the tight end, knowing that Daniel Graham is going to go elsewhere. You get Sammy Morris at running back, knowing that Corey Dillon's going to leave. Different roles and different players, obviously, especially a running back. But let's first talk about Kyle Brady. Is it basically getting a guy who isn't going to demand the ball and isn't going to be looking to get 50 catches, but knows that his role is going to be to block and here and there catch a pass?
Yeah, but like Andy's been saying, it's not the same thing as Daniel Graham. I've heard, well, he's a better blocker than Daniel Graham. I don't care. He's not the same player. Graham can go out and catch a pass 20 yards down the field.
So there's that threat.
As Bill Belichick said in the past, he's like having another tackle.
Right.
So when you run the ball, fine. You know, pass protection, fine. But as far as a receiver, you're looking at 5-6 yard gains in
Plus,
that area.
When he's on the field, the other coach knows he's like having another tackle, too.
He's not going out.
Daniel Graham wasn't another tackle.
Right.
Daniel Graham was a great blocking tight end. Who, if you've watched his history, can rumble down the field with the ball and make big plays through the air. He didn't do it every week. He wasn't an 80-catch guy, but the threat was always there. You weren't sure exactly what the Patriots were doing with Watson and Graham. When Brady's on the field, you're pretty sure he's blocking.
Yeah, right. The whole, you know, in terms of the roster, you know, this is the roster report, but so I guess it means that David Thomas, you know, has to have an increased role. But, you know, in getting to what Andy's talking about now, you kind of get a little predictable when Thomas is on the field. And when Brady's on the field, it's not like when you had Watson and Graham on the field where you could legitimately see one of them going out, both of them going out, both of them staying in.
And to stay unpredictable, you almost have to work to do it.
Right.
You almost have to throw with Brady in there, send him out a couple times on some patterns, and then block with Thomas in there, which isn't
that,
really playing into the strengths of the players.
For you, right.
You're just doing it so that you don't get too predictable. So I don't. The other way, naturally, you were unpredictable because Watson and Graham were two unique, diverse-type players.
And then it was a good signing, though. I mean, for
solid. No money.
$5 billion.
No money.
Nothing. Well, you're not minimal commitment in terms of length and in terms of money. Now,
well,
Sammy
good,
Morris,
he's like 72.
Right. He's in his 12th or 13th year going into now. Sammy Morris, your ideal backup, I guess you would say. He's been a backup pretty much his entire career. Not going to be demanding the ball, not going to be looking at number of carries, but Lawrence Maroney will be stepping up in his second year and taking more of the load as opposed to splitting with Dillon, and then Sammy Morris can kind of
spell. Well, I think that's where this is going.
Exactly.
Everyone who's been waiting to see Maroney, you're going to get your chance next year. 20, 25 carries a game, he's going to be the guy. Morris will come in, catch a pass here and there, maybe run a draw like Kevin Faulk does, but he usually gets 70, 80 carries a year, so it's just to take some pressure off Maroney. Only know.
And then the other move was adding Wes Welker. They traded a second-round pick and a seventh-round pick to get him. He had been a restricted free agent, and the Dolphins, instead of going through the motions of signing him to an offer sheet and then having to wait 7 days to see if the Dolphins match, the Patriots and Dolphins worked out a trade. Now, what kind of role will Welker play? He obviously has a lot of experience in the return game, and he had his best year as a pass catcher last year. If we're ranking, if we're saying this guy's a number one, this guy's number two, this guy's number three receiver, where's Welker, and what does he do in the return game?
This is Paul's favorite signing out of them all.
Yeah, no, clearly I've been getting that sentiment. Paul, why don't you tell us what you think Welker's going to do?
Well, I think, like everybody else does, I think he'll play in the slot and he'll be the de facto third receiver. But I just think that this guy, because he caught 9 passes in Foxborough against the Patriots last year, I think is considered something that he may not be. And I don't, you know, I hear a lot of Troy Brown talk. You know, I'll have to see it for myself. I don't say this is a bad signing or a bad transaction since it was basically a trade. I just think the price was a little too high for a guy that I don't think is as good as most other people in New England think.
But ignore the price. Just forget that now because that's
solid. He's an upgrade over what we had last year.
Will he help the team?
Yes.
Will they be able to use him?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
how I feel. I agree with you. I think the trade and the money are more than I'd be willing to give up personally. But now that you're past that already happened. You can't change that. You look at it just on paper. Will he help the team when he's on the field either as a receiver or a returner? And I think the answer is yeah.
Well, definitely as a receiver. I think that his return abilities are somewhat overrated a little bit. I think he'd be okay as a punt returner, but I don't think he's been a very good kick returner in his career. But I do think everything you said, I agree with. I think he'll help the team. And I think if you look at the receiving core that's coming back from last year, I think he's an upgrade over at least half of them.
This might be on just the limited time I've really seen him because it's when he plays the Patriots a couple times a year. I like his punt returning because
I do too.
I like his style. Whether
I like
I
guys
might
that
be criticizing
come up and get
it
aggressive.
Later when he drops a ball and makes a bad decision, but he is very aggressive, and I think that makes him, you know, I heard John Clayton sort of ripping the move and saying he runs a 4.74 40. I don't really care what the numbers are. When he's returning punts, he looks fast because he's aggressive. He goes after the ball, and he gets upfield to get the 6 yards if they're there, the 12 yards if they're there, whatever it is. So I like his aggressiveness as a punt returner.
Now, just a few other guys. Larry Izzo re-signed. Daniel Graham off to Denver. Telly Bantakane off to San Francisco. What do you see the next potential move the Patriots making? Where is the biggest hole based on what the roster looks like now after the moves that they have made?
Well, I think the biggest hole would be in the secondary. Mm-hmm. But if you look what could happen, the Dante Stallworth thing mm-hmm. is the interesting move because he was here. There is some sort of contract offer on the table. There were a lot of reports from various sources, including NFL.com and Comcast out of Philadelphia, where he played last year, that he was a Patriot, that it was a done deal. Obviously, we know now that that's not true, but I think that's an interesting signing because just pure talent, ignore the off-the-field issues and ignore the injuries, the guy's got talent. The guy would probably be the most talented receiver, you know, on this team if he can stay healthy, but the holes, then I think you start looking towards the secondary in the draft. I would say the secondary is now a need for this team.
Well, we're only 1 week into free agency. Obviously, the Patriots were a little more aggressive earlier than they usually are with some of these signings and some of these moves, not the team that usually strikes on the first couple days of free agency, but they did this year, and we'll see what they do in the coming weeks. And we'll be bringing it all to you on the Patriots Roster Report podcast every Friday. Yes,
can I pose a quick question
you
to
sure
you
can.
And the two other gentlemen here?
You sure can, including the one who got up already?
Ignoring the Adalius Thomas signing, just the other minor moves that we're calling them, the trade for Welker, the Kyle Brady, and the Sammy Morris, are those upgrades on the roster? Do they help the roster?
Yeah. I mean, I think the roster is better now than it was before they started free agency.
Even ignoring the Thomas thing, I'm saying, like, you know, your tight end situation, your running back situation, you know, the whole thing.
Well,
you think they're a better team today?
I would say a little bit better, yes.
Okay.
So are you saying better than...
Well, because the Thomas one I know is flashy. He's clearly better than Tully
Forgetting
Banta
the Thomas Kane. One, right. But I'm saying, are you saying that, you know, is Brady an upgrade over just Watson and Thomas or an upgrade over Watson, Thomas, and Graham?
Is the three, and you're is, saying, and, are the three Patriots tight ends that they have right
and,
now
and is,
better
and
than
is Morris an upgrade over
like
Patrick
looking,
Pass
so
or,
basically, let's just
or nobody?
Say offense. Let's just say offense because all the other moves are on offense. The tight end, the slot receiver, and the backup running back. They're better
yeah,
right
I,
now.
I think they got a little bit young. Like Morris, I don't think, is the back that Corey Dillon is, but he's a little bit younger, can do a couple of things. Welker, you know, comes in there at receiver. Obviously,
Welker, I think makes you better.
Yeah,
I would say
the tight end
better,
is
but not overwhelmingly.
No,
mean,
that's what
it's
I
a
mean.
Downgraded
clear,
tight end.
Right, they're clearly right. not splash moves.
Right.
They're
it's
the
a,
extra
it's
moves.
It's a downgraded tight end. It's an improvement at wide receiver and the returners and the running back. It's neutral, I guess, maybe slightly down, but. It's okay. An interesting question. We'll keep running that question every week.
Every week. After
How about
we
that?
Finish the moves, are they better today than they were last Friday?
Andy can interrupt the close of the show and say, let's just ask one more question.
River.
Cry me a what?
Freaking river.
Okay. All right, well, that will do it for this edition of the Patriots Roster Report. For Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, and Tom Casale, I'm Brian Lowe. Be sure to tune in next time.